If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalm. We'll be in Psalms chapter 111 and Psalm chapter 112. I was reading last week, and there was a phrase jumped out at me, and then the Lord reminded me of that yesterday evening, and I went back and started to look at it and started to study, and I began to see something that really blessed my heart, and I hope it will be a blessing to you as well. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll read in Psalm 112, and then I'll be preaching this morning out of Psalm 111, the Lord willing. Thank you for being here. Honestly, there's a great number of people that are here today, with so many people that are fighting different things and surgeries and sickness. We're just grateful, amen, that the Lord has led you this way today, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The verse of Scripture we'll read is verse 4. The Word of God said unto the upright, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Would you read that text with me? Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. You can be seated if you would. Pray with us this morning. Brother Don, lead us in prayer, would you please, brother? Thank you. Yes, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Don. The Word of God uses a phrase, there ariseth light in the darkness. And we're coming upon the season when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that if you are paying attention to world events, that it just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to rejoice in these days. And it seems like that the clouds are getting thicker and getting lower, and that it's getting darker in the world that we live in. But God said, there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first read that verse of Scripture, I really believed and thought as I read it and actually reread it, when the Word of God said He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous, that was speaking of the Savior, speaking of our Lord. Now, if you will read it in its context, it's not speaking of the Savior. It's speaking of the saints. I'll get to this deeper tonight in this chapter. But what I want to look at, if you'll jump just across, well, in my Bible, it's just across the page. If you go to Psalms chapter 111, the Word of God said, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. It almost sounds the same, doesn't it? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And yet the Word of God said unto the upright, God's children that walk upright, God's children that love Him, God's children that are not ashamed of Him, God's children that realize that we're supposed to let our light shine, that men may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart there's a there's a blessing here for us when we're talking about light in the darkness. You all know this. I know that I've brought this out from this pulpit before, but just in case someone's maybe here that didn't hear it. The moon has no light in and of itself. In recent days, I think it was about maybe a week and a half ago, we had a full moon. And then the moon, as the moon is going down, it's called the waning moon. And then when the moon is getting bigger, it's called the waxing moon. And the moon has no light in and of itself. What the moon does is just reflects the sun. And if you and I would like to have a Christmas season where light shines in the darkness, if you and I would just concentrate and look for opportunities to reflect the light of the Son of God, and God is going to show us many ways that that can happen in the Scripture, then we can see the light, there ariseth light in the darkness. I was thinking, sitting there on the front bench, that it's been maybe 6 months ago. I have a fifth wheel trailer. What do you call it? I guess a travel trailer, fifth wheel. You pull behind the truck. I don't know if there's a better. It's a camper of sorts. But I had a hitch that it fooled me one time. I thought it was hooked up, and it wasn't hooked up. And actually, thank the Lord, it was in the campground when I dropped the camper, and it dropped down on the truck and did some damage to the front of the camper and did some damage to the truck bed. But my boy, he told me, he said, "Dad, you don't need that hitch. You need this hitch." And so, and he knows what he's talking about, so I bought another one. So I put the other one, it was like new, the other one up for sale. Some people were glad to get it. It was a slider. It would slide back and forth and all of that. But this lady came to pick it up, and she had a little girl with her that was her granddaughter. And I'm just trying to give you a thought here. Beloved, listen, we need to pay attention to the Spirit of the living God. And if we would do that this Christmas season, God can help us to bring some light in some dark places for other people. It's not all about us. It's not all about our family. It's not all about our church. Amen. If we would live our life for others. That little girl, that lady paid me for the hitch, and she was so glad to get it, and I actually discounted it for her. She was in a way that she needed it for her husband. And anyway, that little girl, we gave her some money. And I just felt led of the Lord to do that. And she grew about 10 inches immediately. Amen. And the grandmother said, "What are you going to do with that?" And she said, "I want to stop at the store." I said, "That'd be a good plan right there. Stop at the store." What if we, this Christmas season, beloved, if we look in the Scripture today, what if we determine that we want to see some light arise in the darkness? God's saying He's not on the earth. He's here in us on the earth. Amen. And He wants us to be a reflection. You see here, the Bible said in verse number 4 of chapter 11, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. But the upright in chapter 4, verse number 12, are gracious and full of compassion. What if we left here today looking for an opportunity to be gracious? Listen, there are people that in recent days, and I think it was a concert, that were trampled to death. There have been people at Christmas time trampled to death, trying to get in and out of a store and get a deal. Amen. God's people shouldn't be in the middle of that mess. We ought to be holding the door, if anything. Say amen. And if we reach up there, I like what went on at Bible school. If somebody wanted one of the prizes, and they said he just got the last one. And the one that had just got it turned around and gave it to the one that wanted it. If I've ever seen the compassion that the Bible is talking about here, then I believe I did in that instant. I want you to see some things here in Psalm chapter 111. I'll call the message Light in the Darkness. And I also thought another title might be like Father,
like son. We were going to look in chapter 111 and then chapter 112, the sons of God or the saints of God are supposed to be mimicking the Heavenly Father in chapter number 111. Amen. I know that we're not God, but let me say something to you to bring it home. You're the only Jesus that some people are going to meet this Christmas season. Your words are the only words that are going to be able to carry that compassion and carry that mercy and carry that graciousness that some people are going to hear this Christmas season. As we go into Psalm 111, there's some things here that I think are necessary if we're going to correctly reflect the light of the Son of God as we walk through this season. First of all, the Word of God is going to show us something here about worship. In verse number 1, the Bible said, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart." Well, let me say this to you. If we're not involved in praising God and worshiping God throughout this season and throughout our lives, amen, there's no way we're going to be a reflection of what God wants us to reflect to the world around us. I thought the other evening, and I'm not trying to be, sentimental, but I was talking to my sister and talking to my wife and talking to my son. We were just sitting at the end of the table after that we had eaten. And I was thinking, Brother Randall, how many people in the world would love to just be able to dig through our trash bags after that meal? I mean, they would have given anything just to dig through our trash bags and got what we throwed away, amen, after that meal. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, if we'll stop just a minute and thank God and praise Him for who He is and praise Him for what He's done and worship Him, amen, I believe we'll be a better reflection of His grace, a better reflection of His glory. But the fact of the matter is, listen, I'm preaching to people today, and it's a trap that will be set for Pastor. It's a trap that will be set for my wife and my children. Beloved, we're liable to be so busy that we run right past the blessings of God when God wants us to slow down and see, beloved, that we can worship Him and point others to Him. I want to give you some things this morning. We see the praise that's involved in worship here, and I think that's something that we should take notice of. I want to say this to you. I shared this with my teenagers in Sunday school this morning. Beloved, you come to the verse in the Christmas story where the Bible said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Do you think the angels were saying in a monotone voice, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men"? Or do you think there was some excitement, there was some jubilation, there was some thrill in their voices as the Son of God had come into the earth, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men"? I believe, beloved, listen, there's nothing wrong with praising God in this generation that we live in. Let me show you something. You better get used to it. I mean this. Go with me to the book of Revelation quickly. I'll show you something here in the book of Revelation that'll bless you, I believe. Revelation chapter number 4 to start with. The Word of God talks about the 24 elders. Listen, better get ready. Better practice up. Amen. Better practice, better know something about worshiping God, because in heaven, that's what we're going to do. We're going to worship Him. There'll be no flesh to hinder us. There'll be no darkness to hinder us. There'll be no pain to hinder us. There'll be no death to hinder us. There'll be not one thing in glory to hinder our worship. It'll be perfect praise. Look what the Bible said in verse 10 of chapter number 4. The 24 elders fell down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord." Again, I would ask you in your mind, think about these 24 elders. Do you think they're saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Oh no, beloved, I believe there's an excitement in their voice. I believe their heart is so thrilled. They don't want to wear this crown in heaven. They want to cast this crown at the feet of the one that's worthy of all blessing. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Look at verse 11 of chapter 5. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Brother Ralph, can you imagine this choir when they light up that new song? Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, I've been around a few choirs in my life. It just made your skin want to crawl. It was such a blessing to hear them sing praises to our God. But I'll tell you, beloved, we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. The Word of God said, the Bible said, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And then the Word of God, I'm just showing you this so you'll know I've got Bible for what I'm preaching, beloved. Saying with a loud voice. Amen. God ain't nervous. It ain't disturbing Him if somebody wants to bless His name and praise His name. I can remember Brother Ralph being a teenager and my grandmother shouting in the house of God. I didn't know the Lord Jesus, but I knew she had something I didn't know anything about. Amen. I tell you, think it was a wildcat squalling, but I'll tell you, it was real. Amen. And she had a shout on the inside that every once in a while came to the outside and caused people to want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved friend, if we're not worshiping Him, we're not going to reflect Him the way that we ought to reflect Him. The Word of God said, saying with a loud voice, look at me, look at me. Is that what it says? Oh no, honey. They're going to say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. All of our attention. You say, Pastor, how can we let the light shine in the darkness? I'll tell you what. Get your attention and your focus off of the stuff and get it on the Savior. Get it off of the things of this world and get it on the things of the world that's to come for the children of God. Amen. The Bible said here, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And the Word of God said in verse number 13, this reminds me of Romans 8, the Word of God said the whole creation groans and travails. This creation is under the curse. And this creation can't wait to get out from under the curse. Amen. The Word of God said in Isaiah, the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. They're going to bless His name. Amen. Notice what the Bible said here. Every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto Him that sitteth upon the throne. Look what the Bible said. And unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, what'd they say? Man, I tell you what's true. I never have seen anything wrong with hollering amen every once in a while. The Word of God said here, the 420 elders, the beast said amen. The 420 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and forever. They said a fella got saved. And he didn't know the lingo. He didn't know the language of the church. But he got saved. He got saved out of an old hippie lifestyle. He got saved out of that drug culture. And he just moved on down to the front bench in the Baptist church. And the preacher said something one day that was real good. And he got all excited. And they said, he said, hot dog! Well, that'd be all right with me to have a hot dog in the church. Amen. If that's what it's all about, say amen. He was saying amen in his own language. It excited him and thrilled him. And I'll tell you what he was. Somebody might have made fun of him, but I'll tell you, Brother Michael, somebody else was saying that old boy got Jesus and it's done broke out on the outside of him. Amen. You can't hide it. One old preacher said, it's like a measles. If you've got it, it'll break out on you. Amen. It'll come to the outside. We see the worship. There's the praise of worship. There's the place of worship. The Word of God said in verse number 1, in the congregation. Boy, I tell you, that ain't that good. Ain't that good? Now listen, the sanctuary, the congregation is a place of worship, but it hadn't ought to be the only place of worship. I was telling my son the other day, Brother Gary Joe, about being in Wise County. I could almost take you to the tree. I was up on High Knob. I mean, I got in there early. It was good and frosty, and it was good and calm, and I was right in the edge of a laurel thicket. And honey, I tell you, I was doing good. I was having me a time. I was about 15 or 20 feet up in a tree, and I had one of them little red New Testaments with me. And I tell you what, I opened that New Testament about 9 o'clock, and I began to read, and I forgot where I was at. And I tell you, about 9:30, I hollered, "Well, glory!" And I realized that I was in the woods and I was supposed to be deer hunting. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, you ain't lived until it just got so sweet. It just run out of you. Amen. It's wonderful to know Him. It's wonderful. There's a place of worship. There's the people of worship. Look at verse number 9. The Word of God said He sent redemption unto His people. Have you been redeemed? If you've been redeemed, how many's been redeemed? If you've been redeemed, beloved, you've got a license to worship God. Amen. There's a redemption that God has purchased with His own blood. He redeemed His people and commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. I tell you something right now, I'm not fussing. If you like to be called reverend, that's fine. I never have really wanted to be called reverend because that's the only time the word reverend is used in the Bible. And it says holy and reverend is His name. And yes, we ought to be a reflection of His name. When I was a teenager, Aubrey Popoff, my dad, he said to me, he said, "Son," he said, "we don't have much." He said, "if nothing don't happen," he said, "we probably never will have much." He said, "but son, we've got a good name." I don't know if I was 13 or 14 years old, but I'll never forget as long as I live. He said, "Son, please, don't drag our name through the mud. I believe we have a Savior in heaven that says, hey, if you name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Please, don't drag my name through the mud." I want you to know, beloved, listen, He's reverend tonight. He's holy, 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 amen, Lord God Almighty. That's what the Bible said. We see, beloved, the people of worship. And then in verse number 9 and 10, we see the permanence of worship. Look what the Bible said here. The Bible said, commanded His covenant forever. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Then the Word of God said, His praise endureth forever. I like that, don't you? It's permanent, amen. It's not temporary. Thank God. Let's look quickly. Not only do we see in the Father His worship, but we see His works. Look in verse number 2. The Bible said the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. The Word of God said here in the first part of verse number 4, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. Drop down with me, if you will, at verse number 6. He has showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and in righteousness. I believe, beloved, that God, according to Joshua chapter 24, He wants His works to be known. According to Psalms chapter number 28, He wants His works to be regarded. You want to know some people that'll be miserable through the Christmas season? Those that disregard the works of God. But those, beloved, that every time they see a little youngin', they see that as the hand of God. Every time they look up and see the moon, every time they look up and see the stars, every time they look out and see, beloved, the trees, every time they look out and see a family together. I was in a restaurant not too long ago, and a family bowed their head. And turned out we were in a town about 35 or 40 miles from where we were staying, and yet that family was from that town. I'm telling you, they bowed their head and thanked God. And I told them what a blessing it was to me to see somebody honor their Father in heaven, amen, even when they didn't know anybody was paying attention. It was a blessing, amen. His works, how we need to honor Him. They need to be regarded. According to Psalms chapter 77, they need to be remembered. We need to remember His works. Don't forget His works. Don't forget His works. Listen, the same God that created the heaven and the earth is coming again. There's going to be a new creation wherein dwelleth righteousness, a new heaven and a new earth. And we don't need to forget that. His works are to be rehearsed. I'm going to read this one. Turn over to Psalm 78 with me for just a moment. Psalm 78 in verse number 4. The Word of God said, we will not hide them. We will not, let me just read verse number 3 as well. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Beloved, listen, you and I that have been on this trail a little while, we need to make sure that those who are coming behind us understand that He's a good God. And His wonderful works to the children of men, He deserves to be praised. Amen. Look at Psalm 107 with me for just a moment. Psalm 107 and verse number, let's see, verse number 8. The Word of God said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. I do believe, beloved, listen, the sweetest praise is when we can praise Him for who He is. But how many can say, preacher, when I think of Him, I think of what He's done for me. Listen, He saved you. Say amen. He saved you by the grace of God. And beloved, listen, He sustained you. He's the one, beloved, listen, if you want to have a real good time, realize that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with Him no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible said in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. In verse number 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. In verse number 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Can I say something? Beloved, it's said in here, three more times, just exactly like that. Let me see here. One, two, three, four, five times altogether. Five in the Word of God is the number of grace. And by the grace of God, we ought to praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. He only had to say it once, but He said it five times. And I'll tell you something right now. If you'd be honest, if this pastor would be honest, we're behind on our praising. When's the last time you ever got in His presence and said, Lord, I don't want to ask You for anything. I just want to praise You. I just want to thank You. I just want to love on You. I'm telling you, beloved, it's real. Amen. Worship. His worship. His works. And then I give you this. Turn with me, if you will, beloved, to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 10. I'm just about through. Just about finished. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Think about this. Just over before the book of James, Hebrews, I'll find it in just a moment. Chapter 1 and verse number 10. I want you to think about His works. The Word of God said in verse number 10, and Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens are the work of Thine hands. Now let me ask you something. If He could make the heavens and the earth, and He could scoop up some dust, and He could make a man, and He could breathe into that man's nostrils the breath of life, don't you think He could help us? Don't you think He can put some light in our darkness? Don't you think He can help us to be a light in somebody else's darkness? Don't you think, beloved, this Christmas season, He can handle whatever it is that we're going through? I know that He can. Look with me at Revelation chapter number 15 for just a minute. Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 3. Look what the Word of God said here. Revelation chapter number 15 and verse number 3. I appreciate the Bible, don't you? It's so, so rich. It's amazing to me how that in one chapter the Lord is being magnified. And then in the next chapter, in much the same way, God's people are being challenged to be like him. The word of God said here in chapter 15 and verse 3 of Revelation, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. I'm going to tell you something right now. Beloved, listen. Many of us, to different degrees, we battle sometimes with our memories. We don't recall like we once did. But I got news for you. God's going to fix all that when we step off on the other side. Amen. Matter of fact, Brother Don, I'm not sure that we're not even going to know in ways that we don't know right now how he's cared for us, how he's taken care of us. My wife tries to remind me every once in a while. I get a little bit frustrated. I know y'all all wear halos. Y'all never get frustrated. I might get frustrated. Brother Jim and I, we were going west a little while back. We sat still in Knoxville for 45 minutes. I had places to go and things to do. Say amen. But you know what? My wife will just remind me every once in a while of things that I preach. And I don't like it, but she does it anyway. And she'll say, honey, you know, there may be something just ahead that God's keeping us out of. You say, that's some kind of super spiritual. I'm glad I married her. I need all the help I can get, Brother Don. Amen. Amen. If she wasn't super spiritual, I might be super carnal. Amen. And I sure don't need that. Amen. God, when we get to heaven, he's going to remind us of all the wonderful works that he's done for the children of men. Beloved, the last thing I see here is his ways. Look at verse chapter 111 and verse number 4. The Bible said he made his wonderful works to be remembered. And then look at his ways in the verse, second part of the verse. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You say, how does he operate? Phew. I'm speaking to a bunch of people and looking in the mirror, and I'm saying we better be thanking God that he's gracious and full of compassion. I said we better be thanking God that he's gracious. That's his way. Watch this now. Look in verse number 6 down through look at verse number 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. That sounds like the psalmist David when he said, I once was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. You know, I've said this before, and I guess there's a lot of truth in it, but we would have a hard time even identifying today. I've said this, that we would drive 25 miles to a Walmart before we would go next door and borrow an egg. Has anybody lived in the generation where you borrowed an egg or borrowed a cup of flour? Did your mom ever do that, Randall, or a cup of sugar or a cup of cornmeal? I'm just telling you. The fact of the matter is, not only would we drive 50 miles to get it before we go next door and borrow it, but most of us have been so blessed, Brother Grizzle, that we've got an extra dozen eggs. We don't run out. We kind of rotate things in and out of the refrigerator. Am I right or am I wrong? We don't get down to the last can of soup. Sometimes I wish we could, then that way she'd have to make it all homemade. That's my idea last Sunday, and it's the worst idea I've had in a long time. She said, what are we going to do for dinner, baby? I said, honey, you've worked hard. I said, you rest today. Just open us a can of soup. Make us a sandwich. I'm spoilt. Y'all don't know what that is. That's spoilt. I'm spoiled rotten. You eat her cooking and then open a can of soup. Ain't nobody ever made a can of soup that'll measure. up to her cooking. Amen. But I'm telling you, God's been good to us. That's His way. I don't know if y'all have ever heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it and I'm going to close. There have been times in my life, Brother Don, where God had to chasten me. I'm going to tell you this. There have been more times in that chastening that He smothered me with His goodness than He took His belt to me. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. Well, there will be times in your life, beloved, listen, you get a little bit sideways with God. You're not praying like you ought to. You're not letting your light shine like you ought to. You're not reading your Bible like you ought to. And God will come along. He's so gracious. He's so full of compassion. And just hug you up real close and make you ashamed of yourself. And you'll cry out to Him, God, I'm sorry. You know what? It don't matter how we get right, just so we get right. And God wants us to get right so we can be a blessing to others and so that light can shine in the darkness. Amen. How many believes God wants us to be a blessing to somebody else? Look for ways, will you? If you was to get in a store somewhere, and I'm not asking you to judge, but is it not true? Sometimes you can just tell. There's a family that don't have much or some youngins. Am I right or am I wrong? I promise you, when I was the oldest of 6 children and Mom and Dad was taking us through the store, I promise you that people could, if they would have looked, could have said, them youngins don't have much. I'm not ashamed of my upbringing. There was a time when I was, but I got over that. Raised in a barn that was fixed into a house. Oh, if I had it to do over again, Brother Don, I'd have invited every kid in school and said, come and see what my daddy did. He took his place and was made for mules and fixed us a house out of it. You say, Pastor, are you complaining? No. I'm just telling you, when I was a teenager, I didn't have sense enough to recognize the blessings of God. To recognize that God had given me a father that would work from daylight till dark and eat him a bite of supper and go back and work till 11 and midnight to keep clothes on our back, keep us in school, keep us going down the road. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, we could look around for somebody that maybe he's not as blessed as we are, and just be a blessing to him. That's our desire with our youth. It's just to go to folks' homes. I'm not going to start naming them, but just let them know you're special. You can't come to church anymore, so we're going to bring a little bit of church to you. We're going to sing you a song. We're going to give you something that we've made with our own hands. We're just going to be gracious and full of compassion. Can I tell you something? That'll work. That'll work in every generation. God's people being gracious and full of compassion. Brother Ralph, get us a song. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your grace. God, would you help us to be just a little bit more like your Son? Would you help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Would you help us to be a blessing? Help us to be a light. Lord, it's getting darker by the minute out there. But God, we can be a light in a dark place. Help us. Help us to do that. Lord, there's somebody here today. Lord, they don't have that light living in them. They don't have that Spirit of Christ living in them. And so, our Father, it's futile to try to imitate Christ when he does not live within us. I pray, Lord, for that soul that's unsaved. I pray for that soul, Lord, that's saved, and yet, Lord, it's been a long time since they worshiped. Been a long time since they praised you. Been a long time since they just stopped and thanked you for who you are, for the blessings you bestow. Help us in this invitation, I pray. Help us in Jesus' name.